Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you all. Today's text is found in Paul's first epistle to his son Timothy, verses 1 through 11. 1 Timothy 1, 1 through 11. The last time I saw my father in the ministry and had intimate conversation with him was on my back porch, and it was his kind of last will and testament to me in my pastoral work. He told me what I needed to be about. He told me to serve God and to serve my family. He told me men who were in ministry to stay away from. He gave me intimate advice about how to conduct myself as a pastor and a proclaimer of the good news of Jesus Christ. It's in the same spirit that Paul writes to his son Timothy at the beginning of this first letter that we have preserved in Scripture. Yet though this is an intimate letter, we shouldn't miss the official nature of this letter. Paul writes to Timothy as an apostle under the command of God, who he calls the Savior in Christ Jesus, who is our Lord and King of the kingdom of God. Paul's writing Timothy intimately, but on official kingdom business, about how Timothy should conduct himself in the outposts of the kingdom of God in which he is called to serve in the church at Ephesus. This is how we should hear the word of the Lord. 1 Timothy 1, verse 1 reads thus, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by command of God, our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, our hope, to Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. As I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies which promote speculations rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith. The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered away into vain discussion, desiring to be teachers of the law, without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make confident assertions. Now we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Understanding this, that the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who strike their fathers and mothers, for murderers, the sexually immoral, men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine, in accordance with the gospel of the glory of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will never pass away. Friends, I'd like to speak to you from the subject, disposing of false doctrine. Disposing of false doctrine. Anybody ever seen the show Hoarders? Hoarders is a show about people who have allowed their a monstrosity of miscellaneous stuff to take over their living space. Hoarders are people whose lives have been consumed within the confines of their house. And at their worst, hoarders can allow the stuff that they have amassed to begin to threaten their physical well-being and life. It's hard to break a hoarder from their habits, and so it often takes an intervention by a loved one to come and confront them about how this hoarding has taken their life off track. And in today's text, Paul reminds Timothy that false doctrine has begun to take over in the Ephesian church. And he's calling Timothy to have an intervention with certain people who are teaching certain false doctrines within the church that are contrary to the sound doctrine of justification through faith in Jesus Christ that Paul has taught and laid the foundation of for doctrine in the Ephesian church. Paul calls Timothy in today's text to dispose of false doctrine by magnifying the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul calls Timothy to be courageous and to confront those false teachers so that he might bring the purifying agent of God's gospel back into God's congregation. Three ways I see in the text in which Paul models and lifts for us to dispose of false doctrine as we prepare for the practice of pastoral ministry and service in Christ's kingdom. Number one, to dispose of false doctrine, we've got to make it a priority in our pastoral ministry. To dispose of false doctrine, we must make it a priority in our pastoral ministry. Paul says, that's verses 1-4, Paul says to Timothy, my true child in the faith, verse 2, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, and Christ Jesus our Lord, as I urged you when I was going to Macedonia to remain at Ephesus, so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies which promote speculations rather than the stewardship of God that is by faith. Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, the main reason I left you in Ephesus was to confront certain people teaching false doctrine. That was the primary purpose I left you there. There seems to have arisen in the Ephesian church some fascination with the old covenant, to where teachers are suggesting that the Ephesian Christians must go back to law keeping and law observance to establish their relationship with God or to identify themselves as the children of God. There's some fascination with genealogies as ways of identifying themselves as God's people. And Paul calls these false doctrines that have arisen in the church myths, mythos, literally revelations that have no basis in reality, as opposed to Jesus Christ, who we know as the Logos, the Word made flesh, God's revelation of himself breaking into time and space in history. Paul says, Timothy, you're to confront these things. This is the reason I left you there, to get rid of these speculations, these teachings that are unsure, that one cannot build their life or their relationship with God upon. Paul calls Timothy to confront false doctrine and dispose of it as one of the primary purposes of his ministry. And that's one of the primary purposes you are preparing and studying, so that you can go back to the church and dispose of false teaching that distracts and diminishes the gospel in the lives of God's people. Paul calls Timothy to confront those people who are teaching and confront what they are teaching, and call the Ephesian church to return to the training of God, which is by faith. That is literally relationship and justification before God through faith alone in the sinless life, substitutionary death, victorious resurrection, and glorious ascension of Christ to the throne, who is coming again to consummate his kingdom. Paul says that is the training of God. Paul has full confidence in what he is calling Timothy to do in the gospel that he is calling them to preach. He says, remove this speculation and put my people back on firm foundation. Like a sanitation worker's main priority is to dispose of garbage in the community, so one of the main priorities of pastoral ministry is to dispose of the trash of false doctrine in the kingdom of God and in your local church. You can't be afraid to address false doctrine. You've got to dispose of it. You can't ignore it when it comes across the pulpit or in the teaching room or in the counseling session. You must dispose of it. You can't say, that's not my gift. Let's leave that to the theologians like Dr. Gamble. No, you are God's servant in his kingdom, in the church, who have called to come and confront brothers and sisters who have gone astray into speculation, to lead them back to the rock of our salvation in Christ alone, through faith alone, by God's grace alone. You got to dispose of false doctrine by making it a priority in pastoral ministry. Number two, you've got to dispose of false doctrine by demonstrating the fruitfulness of the gospel and the folly of false doctrine. Those are verses 5-7. The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered away into vain discussion, desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make confident assertion. You've got to show them the fruitfulness of the gospel. Paul says false doctrine is folly because it bears no fruit in the lives of God's people. It falls short. It has no victory in it. It does not change anything. But Paul is saying in the gospel, when rightly preached and when rightly received through faith in the work of Christ and his work to justify us before God, Paul says that produces so much transformation in the life of a sinner. It produces primarily a life lived, here it is, fulfilling the law of God. Exactly what the Ephesian teachers were trying to do, separated from Christ. Paul says the gospel allows you to complete perfectly through Christ, because of Christ. Paul says that the gospel, when rightly preached, the training of God, when rightly preached and received, produces love. That is, a life of love for God and a love for others. The fullness of the law. To love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, and your neighbor as you love yourself. Paul says that is the byproduct of the right teaching and receiving of the gospel. And it flows from a pure heart, a heart that was once bent toward hating God and hating others and hating his will, is now bent by the right preaching of the gospel and the receiving of the gospel through faith to loving God and loving his people. And a good conscience, a conscience not constantly marred by the shame and the stain of my life lived in sin, but a conscience that is being purified as God through his spirit is sanctifying me and changing me, enabling me to discern his will as my mind is renewed in him, and a genuine faith. Genuine leather is preferred because it stands the test of time. Paul says, this is not a faith when the gospel is truly received and rightly preached. It is not a faith that comes and goes. Our emotions may come and go, but our faith shall endure to the end. It is a faith that will greet Christ, as the hymnologist said, when the clouds are rolled back like a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. Why? Because my standing before God rests in Christ's righteousness and not in my self-righteousness. We got to show them the fruitfulness of the gospel, but we've also got to show them the folly of false doctrine, which Paul says is twofold. One, it leads people away from the salvation in Christ, and it proceeds from ignorance. Did you see that in the text? Six, certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered away into vain discussions, desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make confident assertions. It leads them away in vain discussion. Dr. Kinnear, empty talk. It leads them away into empty promises that can't be made good upon, because our relationship with God is only made good upon through the finished work of Jesus Christ for us, not by our works in our own self-righteousness and law-keeping in order to justify us before God. False doctrine is sinful and horrendous and serious because it leads people to hell. But the gospel leads them to life and light in Christ Jesus. But what's also wrong with it is that it proceeds from ignorance. Paul says they actually never knew what they were talking about. They were charismatic personalities, but they didn't know what they were talking about. They were magnanimous leaders, but they didn't know they were talking what they were talking about. They were illustrious teachers, but it was a zeal based not on knowledge. And Paul says that Paul is not arrogant here. He's just one of those people who can make the call on their doctrine. He was Paul, who was once Saul, a Jew of Jews, a Pharisee of Pharisees. Paul was able to tell them they really didn't understand what the law was really supposed to do. That's the folly of false doctrine. Like household cleaning products poured over ice in a glass becomes poison. So false doctrine and trust in the law apart from Christ leads us to death and destruction before God. We've got to make disposing of false doctrine a primary purpose in our in practice in our pastoral ministry. We've got to do this through showing them the folly, the fruitfulness of the gospel, and the folly of false doctrine. But thirdly and finally, we've got to dispose of false doctrine by rightly preaching the truth of God's gospel. Just don't focus on the counterfeit. Focus on the authentic. That's verses 8 through 11. Now we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, understanding this, that the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly, the sinners, the unholy and profane, for those who strike their fathers and mothers, for murderers, the sexually immoral, men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine in accordance with the gospel of the glory of the blessed God, which I have been entrusted. Paul says the law is good when used lawfully. The incorrect use of the law is to use it as a means by which we might approach God. But the right use and understanding of the law is as a mirror to show us what we are not before God. The right use of the law comes in the right connection of the law with the gospel, under the umbrella, under the gospel, under the light of the gospel, giving prerogative and priority to the gospel. Paul says the law is to be a mirror by which we see the will of God and realize that is not what we are. And so it is to avert our attention off of ourselves and back to Christ, to see that everything that he is can be counted to us through faith alone in his finished work, in his revolutionary act to reconcile humanity and the world back to the Father. Paul says that's the right use of the law. It is that law that subservient to the gospel that has brought salvation to people like you. People who were disrespectful to their mothers and fathers, people who are murderers, people who were sexually immoral, people who are homosexuals, people who have oppressed other people groups through slavery and oppressed each other in slavery, liars of all sorts. Paul says this gospel came and transformed people like you. And if you think you're off the hook because you're not in the list, Paul puts all your sins under this phrase, whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. Basically, he's just like, I'm talking about you. He just didn't have enough space. Paul says that is the gospel. That phrase he will go to, that Christ came into the world to save sinners. And that is the right use of the law. People will never know the right use of the law until they rightly hear the gospel of Jesus Christ preached and proclaimed. Like a contractor must take tools and materials to reshape and shore up a foundation of a building that has been compromised. So we are called into the church, into the lives of God's people, into the world to rightly proclaim the gospel, to rightly apply the materials and the tools of the gospel to create a firm foundation in the congregations of God's people. Friends, we got to preach the gospel. It's the only way people are saved. It's the only way people become free from wrath. It is what Paul calls the glory of God. Think of it, those of you who are first-year students, 3 years from now, you will be graduating in all of your glory. Graduating from this seminary will be the best thing that you've ever done with your life up until now. And you will be in your regalia, you'll be in your glory. Paul says the God that created the universe was at his best when he sent his son in the womb of a virgin to live a sinless life, to be pinned to a cross for your sins, and to rise victoriously for your redemption, and who is seated now on the throne, waiting to consummate his kingdom at the command of the Father. And it is that gospel that you are preparing to be entrusted with in Christ's kingdom in the church. Dispose of false doctrine through making that gospel the priority, showing that gospel's fruitfulness in comparison to the folly of false doctrine, and giving your all to rightly proclaim it. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you for your good news in Christ Jesus. It is the only thing that saves us. It is our comfort. It is our hope. It is a sure word from God. Help us to love it and help us to defend it, to be faithful soldiers like Paul calls Timothy to be in the proclamation of your good news and your salvation. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Our concluding psalm is found in 119a.